All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Thursday, August 11th, live from the DFSR studios. Once again, Doug Norrie, James Davis on the other side of me here, going to talk a shorter slate of baseball today, short double slate of baseball. James, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going good. I think I want to say my own name next time we do the podcast. You say, like, I'm Doug Norrie, and I'll say, and I'm James Davis.
I'm not confident we can translate.
I think we can pull that off. We'll just put it on the notes for next time.
Okay, we'll talk about it off air. We're here from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short, trying to help you get started or get better at playing Major League Baseball for FanDuel and DraftKings. You head over to our site. We have content going up there every single day, and you can also grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by Lineup Lab that helps you one-button click optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. Right now, we're in full bore with baseball, NFL coming really soon, where we're going to be expanding some of our tools. Really, really excited about what we have coming up there. For today, we get two separate slates. We get an early afternoon slate, which I'm very excited by. I woke up excited. I told you I was excited. The guys and gals in the chat room seem excited for it.
But your childlike enthusiasm for the game is what makes you one of the best.
Well, I'll tell you, and it really proves it on a night where I start Dallas Keuchel in cash games, and he gets rained. He gets sort of bad lucked all over the place, except for the home run to Dozier, and then gets buzzed off with a zero. And actually, it was funny. Our optimal lineups had on FanDuel had Keuchel, and finished something like 14 points off the cash line with a zero from him, which really
hard to play no pitcher.
Well, I said to the chat room, I said system win, weather loss, right? And so, I mean, we can spend a minute or two talking about weather, or if we can hold it to the end.
No, I think we should talk about it. I think that it's worth, because what we're always trying to do is try to put a number on the different factors that go into player projection, right? And so last night we're in the chat, and a lot of people had concerns about the Minnesota-Houston weather. Now, you pointed out rightfully, I think, that two of the major sources for DFS weather, who are often right, pointed out that they thought this game was going to play, that it would finish, and that it wasn't worth tweaking your lineups too much as a result.
There was some concern, but not like red alert concern.
Right. I guess my point is, when you're going to invest, so in Keuchel's case, more than a quarter of your salary in a guy, what amount of concern, how many points is that concern worth, I guess, is my question. Because clearly yesterday cost us all of his points. Now, that won't happen all the time, and maybe it won't even happen usually. But if it happens occasionally, so last night, obviously, the chance wasn't zero, right? It was some chance higher than zero. Mm-hmm. And if given that it happened, it could have been 1%, but it's probably more like 10, 20, something in there. So I'm wondering, I guess, going forward, especially with super, super high impact plays. Like, it'd be one thing if we had Alex Bregman too or something in that game. But when it's your top guy, especially, so say like Syndergaard today at 11,000, 10,5, what amount of concern about the weather means his points projection should be downgraded?
I think for me, it's really situation dependent, because it depends on what option two looks like. Mm-hmm. So for instance, today, if there was a weather threat in, if there was like a, you know, a, if there was some chance of the of Syndergaard getting, buzzed off his production because of weather, I might not even play, because I think that because there's two terrible scenarios that happen. One, you don't play him because of weather. He plays and he's clearly the best option. Now you're really a big dog. Or you play him and he gets buzzed off because of the weather, and now you're a big dog because of that. And so, and for me, the option two doesn't exist. Now, it was different last night. The mistake I made last night was that, like, Robbie Ray, we actually had as, like, higher points per dollar right in line with Keuchel, was an easy pivot, and there was almost no downgrade in expectation from the Keuchel lineup to the Ray lineup. So,
right. And that's my point, where, especially if you're going out on a limb, and we're fine, by the way, if you've been with the FSR for any amount of time, we're fine going out on a limb from time to time, mm-hmm. and getting a guy in there, even if we think he's going to be a low percent ownership. And I think, I'm not concerned about Keuchel's performance last night. I think getting dinked and dunked, that'll happen. I still think it was the correct projection. I guess, the weather is just such an odd externality in baseball.
Yep.
Well,
what I'm not willing to do is to downgrade his projection overall based on the weather, right? Like, so at that point for me, it simply becomes I'm either choosing to do it or not with it. So, like, we've discussed this a little bit, what I don't always feel comfortable doing is saying, like, I'm going to give him a X percentage downgrade in expectation because the weather is concerned. Like, that's where I'm not necessarily willing to go. So then I think at that point, if Keuchel's like showing up in optimal lineups and there's a weather concern, it's sort of like on me, the user, to make the decision, I think. I don't think we can start the practice of going through and saying, well, 10% chance of postponement here, so, you know, give them, you know, 0.90 multiplier on that overall projection.
And I think, I actually do think that would be reasonable. The issue, I guess, is, well, the issue is communicating that to the end user. I think it's very worthwhile in an individual's own projection, you know, strategy to take a look at something like that and say, okay, 10% of the outcomes here are Keuchel gets 0 points, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that it's the same thing as just saying Miguel Cabrera is occasionally going to go 0-for-4, right? Like, if there's a rain possibility, a weather concern, I think it's very, very reasonable to lower the median projection, or the mean projection in this case. And I don't think that would be an error. I do think the issue there is we aren't sophisticated enough at guessing at the weather.
Right. That's why I'm saying
I'm, and even obviously the best guys in the industry aren't perfect at it either. So I don't know. I think it might, for me, you know, they call me Mr. Cautious. A lot of people do.
Everyone I know calls him.
Exactly. So Mr. Cautious is going to say, it's like the basketball thing for me where, you know, playing the guys coming off injury, you know, all that other stuff. It's like, it's moving into the why bother stage for me. The more we continue to do this and have this thing happen from time to time.
And the weather thing too, remember, like we say, like, you know, it's a right or wrong thing. It's like the weather, sort of like, you know, Vegas odds is not right or wrong. It's giving sort of range of possibility of outcomes. And it's not just like I was either right on the weather or I was wrong on the weather. No, 30% of the time I gave it a 30% chance of playing or whatever. And so that this time the 30% chance, I'm making that numbers up sort of, but like that this time the 30% chance turned into a 100% chance. And it just is.
Well, it didn't turn into 100%.
Well, excuse me. Okay. The 30% chance happened. Let me look at that.
Exactly. Sometimes the one adder in poker comes in, sometimes the 1% chink, you know, there's black swans and whatever else. And that's totally acceptable. I guess it can't hurt to weigh that. I mean, and this is obvious, everyone weighs the weather in baseball. I guess erring on the side of caution when things are close is probably best practice, my opinion.
And this was a case where I'll happily admit the mistake. I made the mistake. It wasn't worth the risk. Let's move on to today. Like we said, we have two slates of games, a 6-game early slate and a 4-game evening slate. I'm really intrigued by this early slate, and I kind of hinted at it with Syndergaard. Are you on the same page with me where he's just a clear cash game play?
I think you equated playing anyone else to just paying the rake for everyone.
I think so.
I think that's 100% the case today in cash games. But I think it does open, and simultaneously, I think it opens up a lot of interesting opportunity for big tournaments, given that everyone's just going to play the guy at big tournaments too, which may even be correct. I don't know.
Syndergaard's his raw point expectation compared to the next guy who's tie-in is such a dip. And it's combined with Syndergaard's not even expensive. Like, so he's like on FanDuel, he's 10-5. This guy is a top 3 pitcher in baseball. Like, and with Kershaw out, he's a top 2 pitcher in baseball. Maybe he's the best. Like, he's he's so good. And his price has dropped, I think, for one specific reason. He's not won in the last 4 or 5 games. And everything else, and he's not won. His peripheral has been fine. He's been striking batters out at around the same per inning rate that he was doing before. He's been BABIP to death over the short term. His BABIP is in the high 380s, close to 400 over the short term, and that has led to a price drop on him. This guy is elite. Like, he's not just good. He's an elite pitcher with elite peripherals. Again, I would put him.
They let him go into games too. He pitches in the one team pitch wise with great frequency.
He comes in as by far the highest money line guy, -220. Or started -220. I think his bet is up to -240 now. The Diamondbacks are just not a very good team, especially with their lefty bats. They don't really have much in the way of lefty power besides Lamb. I mean, I suppose Peralta, but he's kind of been in and out of the lineup. I mean, he might even be hurt. This is such a cash game opportunity here. I think I wouldn't even bother fading him in tournaments either. I mean, there's I would do it. Maybe
I got a
some
case
percentage
for some other guys, but
right. But for the most part, there's no one, almost no one else that played out infinity times hits the upside at the same rate that he will here. And yeah, if you open up cash games like on FanDuel and see him at like. Even like 80% owned, 87% owned, that's 13 or 20% of people that I think are going into it donating, outcome independent.
And I think he will be in those high, high 80s owned, maybe not, but
I don't know. I've been wrong about this before. I've been really wrong where I've, like, I can specifically remember twice with Scherzer where I said, man, if I knew Scherzer was going to be only a 50% ownership in this situation, I would have doubled my buy-in because it just seemed like I'm not confident that I'm able to totally guess cash game ownerships in such situations like this. It seems like so clear cut to me, but I've been wrong before.
Yeah, that's fair. I do think, you know, we like to dive into bigger concepts sometimes. We already talked about the weather, so maybe we don't go too deep into this, but it reminds me of counting cards in blackjack. Like, you know, as someone who's done a decent amount of card counting, well, the thing that most people don't understand, just like lay people, when they hear about it, they're like, I don't have a mind for counting. Well, it's simultaneously just counting, keeping track of things, and then also increasing your bet when the odds are in your favor. And it's your money at home. Do what you want with it. But this is a day where we here at the DFSR studios will be investing a higher amount because this is just one of those times where there's all big cards left in the deck.
I've already put in some lineups this morning, and I'm already over 15% of like my usual buy-in for me on a slate like this, and I'll probably even increase it more. And then I'll really hope that there's maybe some overlay because it's an early slate and they don't fill because people are at work or whatever and just can't all the way buy in. But this is just the perfect situation for me. Like I said, Syndergaard's elite. I can't really explain it more ways than one. The only thing that's beat him in the short term is the lack of the win and the BABIP, and nothing else about him is any different than he's been showing really all season long.
Yeah, right on. I think that a good thing to point out just in terms of his cash game ownership is there's also just no one who's even expensive. So
right,
and the next guy Tillman is not gonna, you know, be thrilling anyone. I do think that if you're in a big tournament, we mentioned Tyone, I have to think he's going to be a big tournament play today, and it might actually be the case where this is the old rock paper scissors where everyone thinks that they shouldn't play Syndergaard because everyone's going to play him in tournament, and then they try to jam in guys with lower expectation. But I do think you can make a significant case for Tyone. He is a pitch count concern guy, but
not recently. I mean, pitched 100 pitches last game.
One game. That's the only game all season.
But it's heading the right direction.
Kind of. Okay. It's been fluctuating a little bit. 65 pitches, 4 starts ago. Nonetheless, though, Tyone, I do think, is a very, very solid play against San Diego, who's just simply awful. And a guy who's averaged more than 6 strikeouts a game for his last 3 starts. So, in the off chance that Syndergaard does get hit by a line drive coming back at him or whatever, I do think that the Tyone's a reasonable tournament play.
And let me say this too. I have the same thought process on DraftKings, where I think that the clear play here is Syndergaard and Tyone. Like where, like that's like where you pair them together, and the drop off from either one of those, like just taking out either one of those guys, is such a significant drop off to the next guy that I'm in the same boat on DraftKings, where it's like this is like the stars are aligning, and the stars are also aligning because I think there's on the offensive side of things it's pretty clear cut also. Like look, again, can things happen in baseball? Yes. Can you run bad? Is the variance high in baseball? Of course. This is me or us at 10 o'clock Eastern just saying, evaluating what something looks like, a slate looks like early on, this is for me the exact situation you want to be in for cash games, especially. Like the pitching is clear cut, and as we'll get to in a second, the hitting I think is very clear cut as well. And now and none of it's cost prohibitive by any means, and it's just perfect. So
let's dive in since we got 2 slates to go.
Well, real quick, are there any other pitcher besides those 2 guys? Like would you even consider it? I mean, Tillman, Garza, Pfister, Berrios. Oh, never mind. Forget it. Let's go on to hitters. All right. On the offensive side of things, I think it stands out to me pretty obviously what I think I'm going to do here. But this is not something we talked off the air about. Where do you see the bats trending here?
Okay, so Doug says it's obvious. That means that I also think so. Which when I was looking at it, I think it is pretty clear cut. I mean, the thing that jumps off the page is the absurd 11 total in Texas today. You know, we mentioned this, that totals that high outside of Coors are kind of unheard of, right? I mean, have we seen a game with an 11 total outside of Coors this season?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Maybe like a wind-out game or something. But
I don't even know, though, because the Cubs pitching is so good. Yeah, so, right, like, I don't – like, usually you can't get it outside of Coors because one of the 4 factors will not line up. Like, like there's the pitching or something. But this is one of those situations where, I think 11's about the highest I can remember.
Yeah, so I think – there's a lot of great individual plays there, but I think, you know, generally speaking, you can't go too wrong kind of scooping both sides of that game and building out guys around that. I will say that in the optimal lineups, there's not, you know, that game isn't as represented as I would have thought. But, you know, when you go through like the top 5 lineups or so, you see a lot of like Odor, you see a lot of Chu, you see a lot of Carlos Beltran. Profar, if he plays, obviously, is a fantastic start. I'm not seeing a lot of those Colorado guys come through, but that might change once lineups come in too.
The Colorado guys are still sort of cores priced. Like they haven't dropped totally off of a series that they played there. So it hasn't dropped as much. And they're just like not as good a team. Like remember too, the run line, the reason that they're not there is their implied runs at 5. So like Texas has 20% high. Texas is implied at around a little over 6 for us right now. That's about 20% higher than the next closest team. And so like the Rockies guys are good, but there are also other teams in this range of implied runs, like the Pirates at like a little over 5. The Astros coming in, they're at 4.5, but still coming sort of cheap. So like there just are a couple of teams in that Rockies range, but there's no other team in the Texas range. So the most important piece of information for me today is the Texas lineup. I think it stays the same, but they're pretty deep now in terms of how they can play some they can play some matchups. They have a bunch of guys that they can chuck to the top of the order if they just want to for this game, if they want to give someone a day off. Like, I mean, I assume it's going to be something like Chu, Desmond, Beltre, something in the, along those lines. But they're deep enough where they can mix it up. So that is really that's the major piece of information I'm going to want to see going in. Beltran at 3. I don't know. I can see a situation where I'm basically just Syndergaard, as many Texas bats as I'm able to afford, and then hope that I'm really hoping also that just a sort of cheap bat from somewhere else comes in and hits somewhere on the top of the lineup so that I can just afford more guys from Texas.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I do think, you know, as we slide past that game, there also just thankfully are a lot of pretty interesting one-ups here and there. System like Freddie Freeman today, and we were laughing too because it's just a classic thing when you're writing the picks. Like, this happens to me all the time. Like, last night, updating the system, I'm looking and I'm like, Freddie Freeman showing up tomorrow. That's kind of interesting. A little bit off board. Go look. 2 home runs yesterday.
Yeah. Well, then it looks like we're modeling on previous day. Yeah, I hate that too. Exactly. Really quick, if you wanted any more case to play, I knew it was going to kind of be like this anyway. Just back to the Syndergaard real quick. The Diamondbacks lineup just came in, and they're just trotting out. It's Segura, Bourne, Goldschmidt, which Bourne's one of the worst hitters in all of baseball, that they insist on hitting second. And then it's Lamb, who's decent. And then it's Owings, Drury, Brito, Goswich, pitcher slot. So, yeah, I mean, if you're an elite arm and can't get it, and can't just buzz through that lineup over and over and over again, I'm not really sure what else to do.
Hey, look who's breaking news on the podcast for the Diamondbacks lineup. That's nice scoop.
Timely. Yeah. So we mentioned the Texas guys. We mentioned a couple one-offs. I think the Pirates are also interesting here today. Mm-hmm. They get a lefty, which is at a good spot for a couple of their guys like McCutchen. I know people are, I know 100%, I can already you know, project out a question or a comment or a complaint on the chat room, which is going to be something like McCutchen ? LOL McCutchen, and then some variation on his name like McChicken or McSuction or something like that. He's going to be a guy that's showing up here. Is this someone we can stay the course on right now in this matchup for him, or do you think that we're just too bullish on him considering, you know, what he's been sort of doing this season?
I mean, I think that we're totally in a position to stay the course here. McCutchen is a guy. I mean, there's obviously some concerns here. It's a pretty dramatic decline in terms of overall performance this season.
But walk rate especially down.
Yeah, walk rate down. You know, it speaks to a change in approach possibly that's a little bit concerning. One thing that's a little bit odd, though, about McCutchen, or not odd, but a little bit unlucky, is his BABIP against lefties down to .250 this year. Historically, McCutchen has been an absolute lefty killer, like one of the very, very best lefty killers in the whole majors. So I liked him against Edwin Jackson yesterday. That definitely doesn't change today against Christian Friedrich, who's simply not a good pitcher. Career 960 OPS against lefties. I mean, I think today is the day to be a buyer on McCutchen. I think he's a fantastic just one-off on the Pirates if you can get him.
He has a couple.
And Jordy Mercer, too, by the way. Jordy Mercer bats high in the lineup, but I think McCutchen is an easy, easy play. Great way to. It's a small slate, too, so again, we're not picking him over like some other great hitter in a great platoon spot.
Right, like I'd play Ian Desmond over. I would play Ian Desmond from over McCutchen, I think, heads up. I suspect, just for raw points, but I still like McCutchen coming a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, 3,600 on FanDuel.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic spot.
Yeah, the like I said, the Pirates are gonna be one of those help us save in a couple spots situation, just because Friedrich is not good. They run righty heavy all the way down the lineup. Like you said, Mercer. I could even play Mercer at hitting 7th in the lineup today, honestly, just because shortstops.
And had a great to save up to.
All right, let's take a few minutes and just break down this smaller 4-game slate on the evening tilt, but I, which I actually find to be also pretty interesting for a shorter slate.
It has a great four-game slate.
Yeah, it has like a nice, has again some of the same elements mashing together that had me excited. Not as bullish on it, but still, this is something that I wouldn't avoid by any means. Let's go through the pitching. A couple top tier pitchers going here at the top of this, at least the salary guide. We have Kluber coming in at 10.9 on FanDuel, Lester at 10.2 on FanDuel. I'll start just between those two guys. If you had to pick one of them, you know, same sort of price range, where would you go between Kluber and Lester?
For me, it's I guess it's kind of close, but certainly Kluber just right off the top. Kluber been fantastic in his last several starts. Just really, really seems dialed in. Better than a strikeout per inning this season. And just a fine matchup, too, getting the Angels in his home park. So but he's the one that jumps off to me. Although I guess I wouldn't be surprised. One thing to point out about Lester, is it a real thing? Let me take that again. It is a real thing when you're playing in a National League park and you only have to face 89% as many major league hitters in a game as in the American League. So if there's one factor that pushes it in the other direction for me, that would be it. But otherwise, I'm feeling Kluber here.
Yeah, this is basically a 1 and 1A situation for me. I am fine. Yeah. I'm confident in both. The matchups for both are fine. The money lines on both are sort of in that, you know, minus 200 or more area. Actually, no, I take that back. The Cubs are only minus 150. Yeah, I think it's Kluber for me as number one on FanDuel. And then I'm just totally happy rostering them both together on DraftKings. Lester's only 10K, Kluber only 11K. For their makeup and profile and the matchups they get, I think that's a pretty easy call to just get most of your. And that's not even a ton of salary, really. 22,000 on DraftKings for two, I would call them, you know, top tier pitchers is savings time, I think. And I'm happy doing both.
Worth pointing out for big tournaments that the Angels do strike out the least against right-handed pitchers, and mm-hmm. that is a real problem for Kluber today, in my opinion. It's probably the reason he's not like a slam dunk number one. So if you're looking for a lead upside, today's probably not the day Kluber gets 10 strikeouts, but you know, obviously anything can happen, but you might want to peer off board a little bit.
Yeah, okay, so if I was peering off board, like if I wasn't looking at those two guys, like let's for instance, a guy like Danny Duffy. Duffy has been one of those guys, at least early in the season, was difficult to evaluate because they were stretching him out, so he just wasn't hitting big pitch counts. That has not really been the case of late. His numbers this season are excellent. I mean, striking
out. What were the 16 strikeouts he had against Tampa Bay 2 games ago?
Right. He's striking out more than 10 per 9. He's walking less than 2. 3.5 xFIP, which is a little worse than the ERA. Can you pay down a little bit for a guy like Duffy against a overall pretty weak White Sox team?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do think, I mean, there are going to be people who play him in cash games too, so I wouldn't write him off there. But yeah, I mean, certainly in big tournaments he's a phenomenal play, although on DraftKings, you're paying up for him. He's 12-4 on DraftKings. So.
Right, so I don't think
worth
I would go there.
I don't think I would buy up on him, because if I'm paying up normally, I'm doing so for safety, not really for upside. Mm-hmm. But again, big tournaments, like he's clearly the highest upside guy going today.
And I could see a guy like Duffy, too, for our projection system as the day goes on, making sure that we're just correct on his inputs, because I know that he's been one of those guys that, you know...
He's really turned a corner.
And just, like, yeah, no, right, he's just a different guy than he was even a couple weeks ago, I would say, in terms of just how outward projections are going to look at him. So that's a nice... It is a nice sort of natural hedging opportunity where he's way too... Right, it's one of those, like, he's 9,200 on FanDuel and over 12,000 on DraftKings. Which one of those is wrong? I suspect it's the FanDuel price is incorrect. So if you're just getting $1,000 savings on him, he actually might creep to the top of the sort of the cash game list especially if we want to save on some bats.
Well, it depends on what you believe, right? Because Duffy's an interesting guy because he projected this way in the minors when he was coming mm-hmm. up as this huge K-arm, although with erratic kind of control issues. And when he came up, he had the strikeout stuff. The control became a bigger problem. Kind of bounced back and forth between the majors and minors. Definitely never really put it together. He had that one season where he had a 2.5 ERA, but the peripherals were awful. 6.8 Ks against 3 walks. And now he seems to have settled in as the guy he was in the minors. And maybe it's a confidence thing. Maybe it's, you know, finally sequencing the pitches properly. But whatever it is, I mean... I don't know that he's a 10K per 9 guy for the rest of his career, but he's certainly much higher than the 6.7K per nine guy he had been before then. So
I'm going to sort of change my tune here a little bit too, because I said Kluber and Lesser were 1 and 1A, and I'm out just going to add Duffy in there too. I think it was probably a mistake to not have him in the original sure. the original group, because he's closer to Lesser than I probably originally thought when I yeah. first looked at it. But and he actually might even be a guy as the day goes on that ends up just passing creeping. Over Lesser. Yeah, just, especially because when the prices, when you yeah. save to get that $500 of savings, they're already at the points per dollar equivalent. So if Duffy were to creep up anymore,
sure, and again, Chicago weather thing.
Yep. Okay, let's talk about the bats. We have a game going in Boston tonight. Yep. Yankees Red Sox, that has the highest over at nine, over under at nine, with Red Sox coming in as slight favorites there. Not a lot of other teams jumping out in terms of implied runs from our system. Red Sox just a little over five.
Cubs only four games.
Cubs a little over five, right? Where I mean, maybe we don't. Maybe we go by the teams here. Maybe we go positions. Where do you see a couple guys or teams that stand out to you in terms of value here? And again, considering that we're probably not going to have to break the bank on pitching.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it's going to wind up being those two games that you mentioned for me. I'm going to weight it more heavily probably towards that Red Sox-Yankees game, just because there are a couple of questionable pitchers going. Pineda, peripherals have been decent, but he's never put it together this season. Eduardo Rodriguez, reasonable prospect, just not a major league pitcher yet, it doesn't look like. So.
No, not by any means.
I think that you can, and especially if you can get positive platoon guys there, like if A-Rod manages to play.
I think he plays.
At a like, super cheap last two last, games this yeah. season.
They booed him mercilessly last night. Like when he came, they got their chance to do it. I mean, again, like will he start? I'm not positive, but it is the lefty matchup. If they just want to just throw him a bone before they kick him out the right. door, like to play him tonight, I guess, if Friday's going to be his last game.
Sure, I think you could even look at Brian McCann, even though it's a lefty-lefty, assuming he gets out there. On the Red Sox side, you know, the usual suspects over there, Ortiz in particular, mm-hmm. given the lefty-righty, so... I do think there are quite a few good options from that game. Looking to this Cubs game today, mostly on the Cubs side of things, obviously, since we like Lester. Carlos Martinez has been, you know, is not the same guy this year that he was last year. The 3.2 ERA is solid, obviously, but if you just start to break down the actual performance in the peripherals, his ERA was much better two games ago, but the peripherals have finally come to call. He's got, 10 walks against 12 strikeouts in his last three starts. He's given up.
I only played him in two of those starts. So.
he's given up 12 earned runs in that time. So I do think that he's a guy with a target on his back against a really tough Cubs lineup.
Yeah, Cubs are like a little bit of a publicly team. So sometimes I'm a little distrustful of their overall line. Like I find that they're one of the harder teams to evaluate just in terms of.
What do you mean by a public team?
Like just they're just more on people's radar. Like they're just like Chicago, Boston, New York teams like that that just tend to. I think the public view of those teams sways the line maybe a little more. That's probably just my own like armchair philosophy. I'm not sure if it's
do you like my professional broadcasting where I knew what you meant, but I asked you so you could explain to the people who don't.
Yeah, I knew what you meant. I knew what you meant. But either that, or I was like really worried, but I'm pretty much not worried. Yeah, no, I think that's it's pretty cut and dry. I do think a couple of the Royals guys are coming in on the cheaper side of things today that can help sure. you save a little bit of money depending. I mean, that lineup is pretty garbagey all things considered, but so is Gonzalez. So Miguel Gonzalez is just a pretty bad pitcher. So you're going to get a savings on the Royals guys in a situation where if they're bad bats or we're going to outperform their mean expectation, this is it. So I have no problem getting a little bit of savings in there just to sort of round out my lineup depending on the line. Like if Billy Burns hit like leadoff, I don't think he necessarily does, but just sort of guys like that, Salvador Perez, if you just need to roster a catcher because catcher's a little is weak, and especially on a shorter slate like this, no one's really standing out. Kendrys Morales, Hosmer. So some of these guys are interesting to me only because of the pitching matchup.
Yeah, and that makes total sense. One guy I think will be an interesting question for people today is Mike Trout. He is now cheap on FanDuel. He's 3,800, and you know, a guy who was living in the 5,000 range for quite a long time. People have had concerns about him this season, and he's got a tough matchup with Kluber today. So what are you thinking there?
I'm kind of hoping our system will default to like superstar types when they're just cheap. Right, when they're cheap, right. So it's one of those situations where I'm hoping it doesn't. Like I'm just hoping that the Angels overall expectation is low enough that it's going to be close on him and it just ends up not doing it. But like for right now, like he's the second highest overall raw points guy in the outfield after Betts. And actually, Betts will probably come down a little bit because if they keep him at batting third, that will actually come down a little bit. Not enough to get with Trout. But like Trout at 11.6, it's only because he's facing Kluber. And so there, it becomes one of those closest situations. I hope it doesn't happen, frankly, because I don't feel like having to worry about it, really. But I don't know. Sure. He's Mike Trout. He's almost matchup independent. That's how good he is. So I don't know. It's close for me. Anyone else that we missed here? I mean, it's only four games. I think it's, like I said, it's pretty cut and dry.
I think we got a pretty good picture.
Yeah. All right. That is it for us today for the short slate of baseball. It's getting started pretty soon, so we'll have the podcast up in a minute or two, although you'll have heard it, so that'll be in the past. We I'm predicting the future. We're here from dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over to the site, get all the MLB discussion and content that you need, and grab a free 3-day trial to our projection system powered by our really good friends over at Lineup Lab, where you can just simply hit a button and calculate optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings.
Love those guys.
NFL there. Coming super soon. We're going to have Blake, our partner and lead developer, who's going to come on and talk about all the crazy awesome stuff he's built for NFL, which we're really pumped about. That's coming probably week 10 days from now. Getting really excited. All right, everybody. We will talk to you again tomorrow morning. Enjoy Thursday baseball.